Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this celebration today of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You know, there are literally well over 2 billion Christians around the world who are celebrating this same reality today, and we just get to join in the chorus and be a part of that. So whether you're joining us online or at Latham or Saratoga or Half Moon, wherever you are, we're just really glad that you're here. You know, I'm reminded of the old story about the man who was walking home from work late one night. It was a very dark night, and he decided to take a shortcut through a cemetery. What he didn't realize was that there was a fresh grave dug right in the path, and so he fell in. Now, the grave was very deep, and the walls were slick, and he tried to jump and get himself out of there. He tried to claw his way out. He just could not get out of that grave. And finally, he fell back exhausted and just kind of sat in the corner pondering what to do next. Well, about that moment, a late night jogger came through and he fell in the same grave. Now, he thought he was in there alone. He didn't see the other guy crouched over in the corner. And he too tried to get out. And this young jogger was pretty athletic, but he just could not claw his way out of this grave. And finally, he too fell back exhausted. And about that time, a hand reached out of the darkness, touched him on the shoulder, and a voice said, "Son, you can't get out of here." But he did. But he did. And some of you thought you'd never be at a worship service like this on Easter, but you did. You are, and I am so, so proud of you. Thanks for being a part of this, particularly if this is kind of a new adventure for you. Now, you may be wondering what this celebration is all about, and I hope that before you leave today, you'll have a better grasp, a better understanding of that. It is said that the great French general Napoleon Bonaparte once looked at a map of the world and his eyes were drawn to one red dot marked Waterloo, that place where his forces were turned back and soundly defeated. And Napoleon said, "Were it not for that one red dot, I could have conquered the world." I sometimes wonder if Satan, surrounded by the hordes of hell, doesn't look at a map of the world and his eyes are drawn to one red, blood-stained dot that represents Calvary, that hill outside of Jerusalem where Jesus died. And I wonder if Satan doesn't think, were it not for that one red dot, I could have conquered the world. But here's why we're celebrating. Because the amazing story of Easter is that Calvary is there. Jesus did die on that cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He was buried, and the tomb is empty. And that's why we're celebrating, because he is risen and alive forevermore. And that's good reason to celebrate. So let's just give God some praise and some thanks today. It's great reason to celebrate. And I want you to know that there is an enemy who wants to ruin your life. But because of that one red dot, because of what Jesus did in his death and his resurrection, that enemy has been defeated, soundly defeated. And the empty tomb is an eternal reminder that we have hope because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So that's what this is all about. If you're wondering, we could just stop right there and go home, but I don't want to quite do that yet. I want to ask the why question. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? Couldn't he have just gone on and be with the Father in heaven? Why did he need to re-inhabit that earthly body and have a bodily, and this is what the church declares happened. This is what the writers of Scripture declare really happened in space and time. There was a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why did that occur? Why is the resurrection necessary? Well, that's where I want to go. And I want to give you two crucial reasons why the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely necessary. Reason number one, to manifest and authenticate the reality of life after death. The reality of life after death. You know, people wonder about that, don't they? In fact, I'd say from the beginning of time, that's been one of the greatest questions on the minds of people. Job asked it centuries ago. If a person dies, will he or she live again? Will they live again? Now, there's all kinds of answers to that. Some people say, absolutely not. Once you die, that's it. You're just like a dead rat on the street, baby. You're roadkill. So there's no hope. There's nothing beyond the grave. Don't expect it. I've actually talked to people who proclaim that they really believe this. That's the end. Another view that's pretty popular these days is reincarnation. Yeah, your spirit goes on and is reincarnated, if you will, inhabits other beings. You might become a cow, for instance, next time around, or a dog, or a cat, or maybe even an insect, right? And people wonder, is there any life beyond death, life beyond the grave? And so there's all kinds of folks today who are trying to defy death and prolong life, and all kinds of efforts made to try to see if we can kind of baffle death and actually, you know, live forever. I read an article literally last week that was fascinating to me. As some of you know, I love reading. If I had 9 lifetimes, I think I'd spend 8 of them reading and learning. I literally love it that much. And I read this article that was on a website called the National Center for Biotechnology Information. Man, that's a mouthful, isn't it? By the way, most of the articles on there, if any of you struggle, you know, with insomnia, this will cure it real fast. I mean, just check out this website. But this particular article, oh, it was so impressive. The list of scholars, scientists, medical doctors, specialists, 27, 28 of them in the bibliography that are feverishly working on head transplants. Have you read anything about this? What used to be mere imagination and science fiction, they say, may soon be possible. Head transplants, in case you don't know, have been performed with limited success on dogs and monkeys. And leading experts believe that it may be possible to graft a human head onto another body before the year 2030. Now, folks, this really excites me because I could be 7'2" one day and play in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is really, really exciting. But in all seriousness, I think you can see that people are grasping for some way to defy death and prolong life. But here's what this Resurrection Sunday is all about. When Jesus came back from the grave, he really ended speculation, is there life after death? Because he proved it. He proved that it was possible. And that's why it is the game changer of all game changers. And I don't know where you are on life's journey. I don't know where you are spiritually, but I'll tell you this. The resurrection of Jesus ought to make any thinking person pause and ponder its significance. Let me try to illustrate that. Let's say that you and a dear friend of yours, you can't believe this is happening to you, but you're trapped in a flooding cave. You've read about things like this. You've thought about how awful it would be, but here you are, and you're sitting on a ledge, deep in a cave and the water is rising. Your anxiety's going through the roof. You're only about 4 feet away from the ceiling and the water is getting higher and higher as it swirls around your feet. Well, your friend, who's an excellent swimmer, says, look, there's got to be a way out of here and I'm going to find it. That water has got to be flowing somewhere. You wait here, I'll be back. So he takes a deep breath and plunges beneath the water. He's gone for a minute, 2 minutes. Your anxiety is growing. He's gone for 4 minutes. You're losing hope at this point. 7 minutes later, he plunges back out of the water. Now, what do you know immediately at that point? You know that there's hope. He couldn't hold his breath that long. He has no breathing apparatus. He had to find air in another chamber somewhere. And so he says to you, look, there is a tunnel several feet down. What we've got to do is follow the current. And there's a huge chamber on the other side. And I saw light at the top of it. We can crawl out to safety. Follow me. Would you believe him? I would, because he's proven it by coming back. Would you follow him? I would, because that's the only hope. You've got only a few minutes to live. On Good Friday, Jesus disappeared into the cavern of death, and 3 days later, he came back alive. And the evidence to support that is absolutely overwhelming. But the moment he appeared, and he appeared not just to his disciples, but to hundreds of other witnesses, that proved that there is life after death. And let me say it again, that is the game changer of all game changers. Here's what Jesus declared in John's gospel. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Now, let me make a plug for next week, because we're in a series right now called I Am, and we're looking at the 7 I Am statements of Jesus as they're found in John's gospel in the New Testament. And next week, here's why I'm plugging this. Next week, we're going to look at one of the most provocative of all the statements where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Boy, that raises questions, doesn't it? Ooh, lots of questions. And I think one of the questions that's most on people's minds is, if that's really true, is that fair? Is that fair? We're going to address all of that next Sunday. I don't want you to miss that as we talk about what in the world that means that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. But today, as we look at this statement, here's the question I want to ask everyone. Do you believe that? Jesus came back from the dead. He said, earlier, I'm the resurrection and the life. The question for us personally that we cannot escape is, what are we going to do about that? Folks, I'm telling you, that is a question that we will never, ever escape. Is Jesus who he said he was, or is he an imposter? We've got to ponder that question. Later, one of Jesus' followers, a man that we call the Apostle Paul, made this statement in Romans chapter 8. He said, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Now, let's pause. For every person who's been born again by the Spirit of God, for every true disciple of Jesus, that is true. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You are literally a temple, biblical language, of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But look at what he says. If that's true of you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Whoa. That means this isn't just about Jesus' resurrection. It's about your resurrection. And here's why that's important, because everyone has to face death. As I've reminded you often, the statistics are pretty impressive on death. You know them. One out of every one persons dies. So here's the question. What are you hanging on to when you cross over that chasm of death? What are you holding on to? Where does your hope lie? Charles Wesley is one of the greatest hymn writers of all time. He's the brother of the great John Wesley, who was a great leader in the church in the 1700s. And Charles Wesley wrote in one of his hymns that in his last breath, in his very last breath, he would like to gasp and sort of preach the gospel with his last breath, "Behold the Lamb." Folks, do you know what happened? This gives me chills. Some years later, when Charles Wesley was on his deathbed, surrounded by friends and family, guess what he said as his final audible words? "Behold the Lamb." And then he went to be with the Lord. Here's a man who knew where his hope was. Here's a man who knew that his faith was in Jesus Christ. And we all need to ask ourselves, when the day of death comes for us, this is not morbid, this is realistic. When it comes for us, what do we have to hold on to? Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he or she dies." But the second reason the resurrection was essential is to establish his authority over all the earth. The resurrection, in other words, doesn't authenticate and manifest and kind of prove the idea of life after death. It does more than that. It does more. It really sets Jesus up as the authority over all the earth. Now, if you're new to the Bible, what I'm about to tell you may shock you, but did you know that Jesus claimed to be God in flesh? He made statements like, "I and the Father are one." He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, one day, you're going to see me coming in my Father's glory with his angels. Time out. Those are ridiculous statements if there's nothing to back them up. But Jesus backed them up. He is no ordinary person. His resurrection established his authority. He said, "If you destroy this temple in three," referring to his body, "in 3 days, I will raise it again." And that's precisely what happened. Is Jesus the authority in your life? That's a question I think we all need to ask. Because if you believe he is who he said he is, then it follows rationally that he has authority in our lives. I find it interesting that on that first resurrection Sunday, the disciples were gathered that evening in an upper room, and Jesus appeared to them. And Thomas wasn't there. For some reason, he was missing. And the disciples said to him later, "Hey, man, you missed it. The women were telling us the truth. Jesus really is alive. It's so exciting. He's alive." And Thomas said, "I think you guys are having hallucinations. I think you're grieving so much. You miss him so much. You're just imagining things here." And Thomas said, "Look, unless I put my finger in his nail prints in his hands, unless I thrust my fist into that gaping wound that spear left in his side, I will not believe." Fast forward 1 week. 1 week later, Sunday evening, the disciples are together again. Thomas is with them this time, and Jesus appeared to them again. And I want you to notice what Jesus said to Thomas here. He said, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And notice Thomas' response in verse 28. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Isn't that interesting? When Thomas knew that Jesus was alive, he called him God. And Jesus didn't correct Thomas and go, oh, time out, buddy. You're taking this too far here. Don't you know that I'm just a mere man like you and nothing more? No. Jesus affirmed what Thomas said was true. And the very next verse reads, then Jesus told him, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, that's all of us who've not seen with our physical eyes and yet choose by eyes of faith to believe. So the resurrection of Jesus from the dead affirms that Jesus is God, and it affirms his authority over us. And by the way, in one of the very last statements that Jesus made before ascending into heaven, he made this statement in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. And then he goes on to tell them what they're to do about that, to go and make disciples of all nations. That's the one that the Bible declares Jesus is, the one with all authority. And let me say it one last time, that is the game changer of all game changers. So here's my final word for you today. You may not be aware, but there are people, if you're in one of our sanctuaries on this Easter Sunday, there are people all around you who have claimed Jesus Christ as the CEO, if you will, of their lives. Here's what I mean by that. They're looking to Jesus to be their guide and teacher. They're looking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want your attitudes to be my attitude. I want your values to be my values. I want your actions to be the kinds of actions I have in my life. And they're looking to Jesus, not just as a model, but they're looking to him literally as the Savior, the one who forgives their sin and changes their life forever. All around you today are men and women, people of all different ages who have done that. And man, I can tell you that some of their stories are phenomenal. Yeah, Jesus proved that there's life beyond the grave, but can I tell you something? I have living proof in front of me every day that Jesus is alive because of many of you. Your life, your very life. I know your story. I know where you came from. I know how down and out you were. I know how up and out you were. I know the meaning and the transformation that Jesus has brought in your life. Praise be to God. Your life is a testimony that Jesus is alive today. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's good news. I'm telling you, there's no better time for a Christian to be alive than on this resurrection morning. And so as we wrap up today, I want to ask you to pray with me. I don't know where you are on the journey. I don't know what God's doing. Maybe he's stirring you. Maybe he's drawing you. But if he is, there's no better moment than right now to say yes to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head with me, please? At Saratoga, at Half Moon, at Latham. If you're listening online, bow your head with me right now. And I would urge you to pray this prayer as God is drawing and stirring you and bringing you to himself. Would you pray this prayer? Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I confess my sin to you. I turn from it. I renounce it. And I yield my life to you. Please forgive all my sin. Please adopt me into your family and begin to change me from this day forward. Father, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord, today, we celebrate all the lives that you are transforming. I thank you for those that you've just drawn and for the change that is happening in them even now, that this is a first step of a lifelong journey of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are filled with joy and we give you all the honor as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's continue in worship.